These are the PCORI methodology standards. This category is about standards for data networks as research facilitating structures. It was prepared by Dr. Hadi Karatsi from the Department of Health Policy and Management and Dr. Daniel Ford from the Department of Medicine. It will be presented by Dr. Karatsi.
Hello, this is Hadi Karatsi. In this module, I will be discussing a case study, which is PCORNet, and this is the most important data network for PCOR studies. So I've dedicated an entire module for PCORNet. In this module, which covers PCORNet and its specification, covers standard DN2, which is the selection and use of data networks. So PCORNet stands for Patient-Centered Outcome Research Network. I've provided the link to their website, and it's the PCORI's flagship initiative to build an effective and patient-centered platform for observational and interventional research. And PCORI actually started PCORNet because there is a need for reusable national infrastructure for clinical research. The clinical trial coordinating centers, large research networks, are often established for one purpose, and they only last for one funding cycle. So we had that increased waste of research dollars just to set up these networks in the past. But hopefully by using data networks such as PCORNet, we can have new trials or new conditions be tested on the same infrastructure instead of a new infrastructure. A data platform is also needed to support PCORNet, but we also need the data to have utility in the real-world healthcare. So through PCORNet, we will have ongoing input from patients, clinicians, health system leaders, payers, and other stakeholders that are contributing to the system on the priority research topics. So this is a very large set of data networks that we can use to conduct our CER or PCOR studies. And I should quote that PCORI is about research done differently versus PCORNet is about research infrastructure that it's done differently. So if PCORI is about different research methodology, namely CER, PCORNet is the research infrastructure that will enable you to do that different research method as well. So what are the aims and visions of PCORNet? So here is the aim of PCORNet. PCORNet seeks to improve the nation's capacity to conduct clinical research by creating a large, highly representative national patient-centered network that supports more efficient clinical trials and observational studies. Again, hopefully we can reuse it and increase the number of our studies without actually investing in the infrastructure again and again. And the vision is that PCORNet will support widespread capability for the U.S. healthcare system to learn from research, meaning that large-scale research can be conducted with greater speed and accuracy within real-world care delivery systems. And that would enable us to rapidly, on a much larger scale, conduct patient-centered clinical research. So what are PCORNet's objectives? The most important single function of the PCORNet network could be summarized into these things: creating a secure national research resource that will enable teams of health researchers, patients, and their partners to work together on research questions of shared interest. It's a national patient-centered outcome research network, after all. Another objective is to utilize multiple rich data sources to support research, such as EHRs, claims, data reported directly from patients like PRO. So this is all of the different data sources that were never together before. And also engaging patients, clinicians, and the health system leaders throughout the research cycles to generate new ideas and how to translate them into practice. And eventually also making sure that we can sustain PCORNet resources for a range of research activities that PCORI and other sponsors will fund in the future. So a couple facts and figures about PCORNet. PCORNet will eventually be one, hopefully, national network, but for now, it consists of 29 regional networks plus one coordinating center. So these 29 networks 11 of those are the Clinical Data Research Networks, or CDRNs, and 18 of them are Patient-Powered Research Networks, or PPRNs. So we will use these terms for the next slides. So the CDRNs are system-based networks such as the integrated delivery systems or academic medical centers or federally qualified health centers where they came together. So think about providers actually bringing in data, providers that already had some data integration capabilities. They're getting together to share data for a certain number of patients, usually a large number of patients, to do PCOR studies. But PPRNs is usually participants and patients working together to discover, propose, and answer relevant research questions, and they're usually smaller data sets, or data networks, I should say. Of those 18, 9 of them are actually focused on rare diseases, and 9 on not so much rare diseases. Across all of these networks, around 155 organizations are involved. More than 3,000 collaborators and contributors are helping PCORnet to be sustained. And millions of patients receive care in these participating systems. And phase one was scheduled for 2014 to 2015, and phase two will start in October 2015. And PCORI's investment in this infrastructure has been so far up to $275 million. So why should the industry be interested in this? Because industry faces a very expensive and inefficient way to run trials. If you want to do any trial in the industry, usually your recruitment is very expensive, and you won't be able to have millions of patients, maybe only thousands, to reach just some sort of the minimal statistical significance that you can get to. So large, cost-effective interventional trials leveraging EHR data and other data sources and already approved IRB processes could be of great interest to the industry and helping also testing what will happen to certain interventions in terms of comparative effectiveness research based on PCORnet data could be a venue for industry to follow. So as I just discussed, industry needs access to increasingly large samples of real-world data, and PCORnet could be one of the answers. And as I discussed, also emerging regulatory requirements of patient preference could be an impediment for industry to develop their own system. So again, industry will probably support not only PCORnet, but hopefully other data research networks as well. Here's the organizational structure of PCORnet. You can see that on the left side, these are the steering committee agencies, members that represent, you know, different agencies, and also PCORI as well. In the middle, you can see that the network is comprised of 11 CDRNs and 18 PPRNs. And on the right side, you can see that there are certain task forces to manage the entire PCORnet. These are so-called the committees. And you can see they have governance committee, data privacy, up to, you know, some very specific ones like a committee just for obesity or certain rare diseases. As I just mentioned in prior slides, PCORnet, which is a national infrastructure for patient-centered clinical research, includes 11 CDRNs and 18 PPRNs. PCORnet includes a diverse set of data sources that feeds into it, including EHR data, patient-powered registry data, the CTSA centers, the clinical and translational science awardees, the CTSAs across the nation, which are usually housed in the schools of medicines of academic medical centers, are also part of it. The FQHCs, the federally qualified health centers, health information exchanges, the HIEs, IDSs, integrated delivery systems, and even up to, you know, payers providing data, they all participate in this process. So what are the data capabilities? PCORnet has a common data model. It's called the PCORnet CDM, and it's built based on other models like the FDA's MiniSentinel and other ones. It is also complementary and compatible with both OMOP and the SHINE I2B2 CDM as well. Most of these networks have harmonized local data to CDM version 1, but CDM version 3 is on the horizon, so most of these CDRNs and PPRNs will go higher on using the latest CDM, so hopefully they can not only share the data, but also do more advanced things because the higher CDMs have more advanced requirements. And there is an underlying querying engine that hopefully will be used. It's called the PubMedNet that eventually researchers would be able to use to query not only one PCORnet, like one CDRN or PPRN, but also run a query across all of them. Here you can see the PCORnet's common data module. We have also covered this in one of the prior modules. You can see the type of data that it's being suggested by the common data model to collect and store, like demographics, enrollments, and so on. On the right side, you can see the sort of the tables in the database that you would end up having if you want to comply with PCORnet's CDM. So there are certain issues, of course, and challenges, but PCORnet and its CDM hopes that the data that would be in PCORnet's repositories, either federated or centralized models, would already adhere to standard formats. It'll be harmonized. Qualities would be already checked in advance, so everything is ready, and the researchers would be more worried about actually running the queries and getting the results rather than worrying about the sort of informatics 101 principles. Creating reusable analytical tools is also one of the aims to develop these ones and make them available to other researchers as well as contributors to the PCORnet's core entities like CDRNs and PPRNs. In terms of the information strategy, rather than bringing the data to the question, PCORnet is designed to bring the question to the data. As you can see in the image on the right side of the slide, a researcher may submit a query. It could be SQL query, could be a computer program through the PCORnet's Data Research Network Coordinating Center. And then through a secure network protocol portal, the query would run against the local CDRNs, PPRNs, anyone that has been chosen to do this. And then the CDRN, PPRNs will review and run the queries against their local data. Then they would review the results. That's the next stage. And eventually the CDRN, PPRNs will return the results via a secure network, and the results could be aggregated again in the secure network protocol. So this way, the query is distributed, but it is run locally in each of these CDRNs or PPRNs. Here's another way to look at it. You can see all of the CDRN PPRNs at the bottom of this diagram, and where the secure portal will enable the researcher to define new projects, run new analytical tools, or do some administration of the data, and then in conjunction with the operations center, create the results for the study. Here's also another way to look at the role of PubMedNet on running the distributed queries. You can see that, for example, a good number of these CDRNs listed here, like VU, VHAN, Greenway, UNC, Duke, HSSC, they all adhere to the CDM, and that means that the PubMedNet will be able to harmonize the query and run it against all of these and bring the aggregated data back. Here is another diagram that shows the different stages that we just talked about on how the research queries could be spread around and run locally, and then how the data can come back and eventually be aggregated to answer the research questions. And of course, PCORnet can also share data with other networks. Remember that PCORnet is one of the data research networks, the one that it's highly related to comparative effectiveness research and PCOR in general. But here you can see, for example, PCORnet is covering some of the health plans, you know, some of the hospitals and some of the outpatient clinics or patient networks, while it can have some good overlap with Mini Sentinel or the NIH Distributed Research Network, data networks. And this is all like some overlaps there. And eventually there would be ways to not only share data between PCORnet's data networks, but also between PCORnet data networks and other ones like the ones that I just mentioned here. Here are the geographical locations of the PCORnet's CDRNs and PPRNs. You can see the total sum, or should I say count, is 29. So what are the goals of CDRNs? CDRNs are aimed to create a research-ready data set of at least 1 million patients, which would be secure and does not identify individual patients. It would be also comprehensive, and it would use data from EHRs to describe patients' care experience over time and in different care settings as well. It would involve patients, clinicians, health system leaders in all aspects of creating and managing it. It would also develop the ability to run a clinical trial in the participating systems that fits seamlessly into this sort of healthcare operations. And each CDRN needs also to identify at least 3 cohorts of patients who have a condition in common and who can be characterized and surveyed. So these are some highlights. So the networks of academic health centers, hospitals, and clinical practices are often in CDRNs. There's also networks of nonprofit integrated health systems. There are the FQHCs, the CTSAs. There's also HIEs. CDRNs are geographically very spread, includes also underserved populations, and the CDRNs, some of them are around 1 million patients, covered lives, and some go up to 28 million as well. Here's the list of the CDRN networks. I don't want to go through all the details, but you can see, for example, the P2PATH network is led by University of Pittsburgh, and you can see the name of the principal investigator as well. So here are the same CDRNs, the 11 CDRNs, and the disease cohorts that they're committed to conduct. So you can see P2PATH has a common cohort of atrial fibrillation patients and a rare cohort of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. And of course, the other CDRNs are using other cohorts, sometimes similar, like diabetes is used in 3 CDRNs, while other diseases are very specific to 1 or 2 of the other CDRNs. Often, each CDRN network has 1 to 10 data marts. The anticipated number of data marts that can be sort of generated out of these networks for studies could be up to even, 75. There are also annotated data dictionaries for each of these data marts, in addition to what we have in the common data model. And so far, we have had 62 data dictionaries. There has been software installations happening all around to make sure that CDRNs can be set up. And 9 of the 11 CDRNs have transferred data at least for 1 million individuals each. So we talked about CDRNs. So what are the PPRNs going to do? The PPRNs target size is not as ambitious as the CDRNs. They're trying to target around 0.5% of the U.S. population and establish an activated patient population with a condition of interest that could go anything from only 50 patients for rare diseases up to 50,000 for common conditions. They're going to collect patient-reported data for almost 80% of their population in the network. So this is very important. So it's PROs, patient-reported outcomes could be part of the patient-reported data collection. And they are going to involve patients in network governance as well as the other stakeholders. Some highlights from the PPRNs. There are very strong in understanding of the patient engagement. There are significant ranges of conditions and diseases covered by PPRNs. There are a variety of population represented in them, including pediatrics and underserved populations. As I mentioned before, from the 18 PPRNs, 9 of them are focused on rare diseases. And there are varying capabilities with respect to developing research data that exists with PPRNs. Here is the list of the 9 PPRNs that are going to cover non-rare conditions. As you can see, they're covering different population sizes, ranging from, small ones like 17, 15,000 up to 100,000. And these are PPRNs that are going to cover rare conditions. You can see that some of them have very limited populations, like only 500 patients. But remember that these are rare conditions, and 500 is considered a very large number for that rare condition. Patient engagement is very important in PCORnet, and the reason that we need to engage patients in the infrastructure development and research is that if we do this, we will have a greater likelihood of trust and participation in research networks when patients are involved in developing the governance and the network. And we will also have a greater likelihood of the uptake of research findings when patients are involved as partners. In terms of governance, there has been different models out there, but the patient engagement at the coordinating center level and the executive steering committee has been always important to PCORnet to make sure that patients have a say in it. Patients are also engaged in PCORnet's task forces and policy developments, and there are a number of committees and councils that patients also serve on them. Here are the different patient engagement categories of tasks and activities that is happening at PCORnet. You can see patients are involved in the governance. They're involved in even the enrollment and diversity issues for PCORnet, data collection, and also privacy and consent. There are certain patient engagement elements in PCORnet, like at the stage of planning the study, conducting the study, or disseminating the study results. Patients are constantly engaged. And if you want to find out more about the patient engagement principles at PCORI, I've given you a link to see more details. The key governance topics for PCORnet includes the stakeholder patient engagement, which we covered, the leadership, the human subject policies, the actual data use agreement, the business associate agreements, and other governance agreements that are needed to handle the data, conflict of interest, intellectual property, privacy of personal information, and reproducibility of research. So PCORnet is going to make a difference in the near future, because so far what we have seen is that the important questions that would affect our health and healthcare, and specifically the patient's preferences for those questions, has not been met. But PCORnet hopefully will combine the knowledge and insight of patients, caregivers, researchers in a revolutionary network with carefully controlled access to the rich sources of health data in order to answer questions that hopefully could be adopted nationally as well. There are a number of steering committees for PCORnet, and each of them have certain tasks that they're assigned to. But in addition to the internal ones, there are also other agencies that serve on the steering committee, like NIH, FDA, ARC, CDC, and so on. There are a number of task forces at PCORnet to make sure that the data not only is harmonized, but it's also shared in a proper way, and the privacy and confidentiality of the data is met. Here are a number of the task forces, like we have the Governance and Collaboration Task Force, we have Data Standards, Security and Network Infrastructure Task Force, Data Privacy Task Force, Patient and Consumer Engagement Task Force, the Health Systems Interactions Task Force, Ethics and Regulatory Task Force, to name some of them, and the responsibilities of each of these task forces are included in this slide. Here are a couple other task forces, like the Patient Reported Outcome Task Force, the Clinical Trial Task Force, and also task forces for rare diseases, biorepositories, and obesity as one of the major domains. The demonstration goals of PCORnet are to address questions that are important to patients and clinicians, assess PCORnet's ability to perform large-scale, either interventional or observational research, facilitate the collaboration between the networks, guide further development of the policies, procedures, and infrastructure that others can adopt, road test the data and networking capabilities, and ensure that PCORnet's privacy is protected, and also develop efficient methods for identifying, enrolling, and following potential clinical trial participants. So these are the demonstration goals of PCORnet, and in the next couple slides, we try to show these tasks within one of the pilots that they have conducted. Here are the PCORnet's goals in terms of capacities in place to support all three types of research, either if it is interventional, observational, or a rapid cycle research on healthcare delivery. Here are some of the use cases, the pilots that I just mentioned. So there has been pilots on aspirin, clinical trial, which is, it's longer, it's ADAPTABLE, it's the acronym for it. There are plans for an obesity observational study, a PPR and research demonstration project, a health system demonstration project, and a couple other ones. So ADAPTABLE is one of the first pilots that have used picornet data to show how useful it is. I don't want to go through all of the details of ADAPTABLE. I've provided you with some information on the slides. I'll try to go through it quickly. So basically, aspirin dosing is of a challenge. And this is picornet's first pragmatic clinical trial to find the benefits and long-term effectiveness of the dosing of aspirin. So here's an example, and this is where the patient-centeredness of this research topic could be shown. So let's say Ted had a chest pain while working and was taken to the ER, where he learned he was having a heart attack. Doctors told him that a plaque was building up in his arteries. And when he was discharged from the hospital, Ted was advised to take 325 milligrams of aspirin each day. So that's the regular strength aspirin. And then Ted compares the notes with a friend who said his doctor has him on a baby aspirin, lower dose aspirin, because it causes less bleeding and bruising. So now Ted is confused about what dose he should take. He does a lot of work outdoors, you know, let's say he's a carpenter, and he's worried about bleeding while working, but doesn't want another heart attack either. So now Ted wonders what he should do. So as you can see, this is very much patient-centered, depending on their job, depending on what they prefer. Maybe we can find more from picornet. So here is the distribution of aspirin dosing at the time of hospital discharge. So you can see that at the time of discharge, more than half, 61%, are given the higher dose compared to the 81 milligram, which is the lower dose, which would be, you know, around 36% of the time. And we have, like, you know, a couple percentages that take a dose that it's between. And, of course, we know aspirin is proven to have clinical benefits in reducing ischemic vascular events. It's cost-effective, but there are issues. And the issues are the emerging evidence for dose modifiers. Equal efficiency across patients is a question, intolerance from the patient side, and we don't know what is the most effective dose. And that's what ADAPTABLE trial is aiming to resolve. And this is important, very important on the patient side. Here is the role of picornet and how they try to run it. You can see that they will use some factors on who to involve in this sort of comparative effectiveness research. You can see on the right side, the enrichment factors are sort of the, sort of, let's call them the inclusion-exclusion factors that might be used. And you have two interventions, like you have the 81 milligram and the 325 milligram on the other side. And you try to get the data from the EHRs or other data sources that the CDRNs and PPRNs have received in order to do the comparative effectiveness research. And after a while, you would be able to reach to your primary endpoints and find out, you know, whether each of these methods have certain effects or not. Remember, you're not running a randomized clinical trial. You don't have the cost of doing this. This is normal data coming in, and it happens that in this such large population, you have enough of patients from each of these types of interventions that you can come up with some conclusions. And here's another diagram to show how ADAPTABLE use case based on CDRNs or PPRNs might be able to give us the answer. You can see here that there are certain inclusion-exclusion criteria happening, so you have to make sure that your cohorts are well-defined and you have all of the policies in place so you can compute the effect of any intervention that you're measuring. So what is the potential impact of, you know, a use case like ADAPTABLE? Well, this is a novel clinical trial with novel methods. It's a large group of networks that will work together, and there would be a good number of experts working on it. And, of course, PCORI hopes that ADAPTABLE would be generalizable. And if it's successful, then it would help solve one of the, you know, major challenges in using aspirin after a heart attack discharge and demonstrate the value of reusable infrastructure. So this is very much a pragmatic clinical trial and observational sort of research to answer questions with high impact on the larger population health. There are some near-term goals for PCORNET, like being able to conduct large observational studies that are very affordable because PCORNET uses a common data model, after all, and it's a distributed querying sharing of data that happens behind it. And other goals are to be able to conduct clinical trials affordably through streamlined contracting, efficient IRB coordination, and engagement of clinicians and sites, and of course, engagement of the patients as well. They will also try to have some openness to the data linkage with other databases, like, you know, other registries out there, or maybe the Center of Medicaid and Medicaid Services will also engage in PCORNET and share some claims data. So these are some of the near-term goals, and this is more of a long-term future goals. You can see here that PCORNET is hopeful to establish priorities that clinicians, leaders, and patients and investigators all share, facilitate the trust leading to collaboration between networks, embed research into practice, create maybe a national distributed data network eventually, and develop oversight procedures that would protect patients while minimizing redundancy and so on. So, and these would, of course, match very well with some of the objectives of PCORI in general.